Okay, today's daf is daf ayin. We're going to start right at the bottom of Samach Tet Amud Bet. Refuah Shlema for the week. Or the pinyin bat Racha Frida Yelmer and bat Chaya Daphna Chaya bat Sari Lana Mir bar Dina Chana Michal bat Freda Hinda Chana Leah bat Fredel David Avram ben Miriam Beli Loi Nishmat Yosef ben Tzvi Akoyim bar Achel Oz Avram Shem ben Elazar Yitzchak Halevi Bechana
Moshe Chaim ben Ahuba.
Moshe Chaim ben Ahuba. Tov, we're in the middle of all sorts of statements that somebody makes when giving a sale, and what's included and what's not included. So we're in the middle of somebody sells a field, and generally the trees, unless he specifies, are not going to be included. The last case we have here in this context is Amar Rav. If we say I'm selling my field, so we're going to assume that it includes certain trees and not other trees. So even though it doesn't include basic trees, we're going to have certain things which it does include. So I'm a Rav. This goes with the concept of, there were sort of two concepts going on. One is in terms of, is it its own unique entity and therefore wouldn't be included in the sale of a field? You'd have to say also trees. And the other is that it's not, maybe it sort of goes together, but if it's not a significant entity, it's really the same argument, not a significant entity, then it's canceled, it's batel to the field. So it's just considered a part of the field because it doesn't even have its own unique status. So if they determine based on how tall the tree is. Kol she'olin lo b'chevel, havishir. If you need, okay, this is what we would generally term as a picker these days, but in those days they used a rope to kind of climb themselves up to the tree to pick the fruits. So if you can't reach the fruits by hand and you have to climb up with a tree, then that's going to be something that goes along with the field that you're selling. If olin lo b'chevel, then that's havishir. That means if you have to climb up with a tree, then that's something that you didn't intend to sell to the person when you sold him the field. But kol she'ein olin lo b'chevel, lo havishir. Okay, but if you can't, if you don't need to climb up with a tree, it's so short, then it's batel to the field. What?
With a rope.
With a rope, sorry. What did I say?
Tree.
Oh. With a rope. Then it's considered part of the field, and it would be sold with the field. Yeah.
Yesterday's Daf Yomi made an interesting observation that the Mishnah was really written in probably in Eretz Yisrael and dealing with trees and growth in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara is from Bavel.
And what would be the difference between the trees in Eretz Yisrael and the trees in Bavel?
The Shikmah?
Yeah.
And the palm trees and the Kfanim. I don't think Kfanim
that they don't grow, you're saying, in Bavel. Yeah. It's not even those things that grow in Bavel at all. Interesting.
But definitely the trees,
The specific types of trees aren't even ones that grow there. That's interesting. Okay. V'dayanei golam amre. Okay, again, we're going to have a difference here between the dayanei gola and Rav, who, again, maybe he came from Eretz Yisrael. But dayanei gola amre, kol sheha'ol kofsho lo havishir. Kol she'ena ol kofsho havishir. So the yoke, this is what they would put on the back of the ox, and then they would attach the machresha, the plowshare.
Just plow.
Or the plow. They also call it a plowshare.
And plowshare is part of it.
Oh, it's what?
I think it's a part of it.
Part of it? Okay. So they would attach the plow to it, and if the oil that was on the back of the shore's head, okay, I actually have the pictures. You want to get it? It's on there. If the oil, when the ox bent down, it would hit into a tree, you know, as he was pulling the plow, and the plow would hit into a tree, if the oil would be kovsho, if it would basically conquer the tree, meaning he would be able to go straight through the tree, it would bend the tree a little, and he'd go down. Okay, you could pass it around. This is one that attaches to two ox. This is called the oil. Okay, so the assumption is, and then this is the plowshare. This is the plowshare, the part that attaches to it at the bottom. So here, pass it around. This is my favorite book, but I wish they had more of them. I bought this once in Ne'ok Dumim. It's called Talmud Kelim, and it has pictures of Kelim. Unfortunately, it's a very small book, and it doesn't have many of them, but it does have a bunch of them. And some of them are kind of obvious. They don't really need pictures for. It was too bad that they didn't pick other ones that are less common, but this is a good picture. So when the oil would knock into a tree as he was working, so as he was plowing, Then if the ol is kosho, it conquers the tree. Basically, it can move straight on, and it would maybe, according to the first one, bends the tree a little, like it's such a weak tree. Then lo havishir, then that's included in the sale. And kol she'ein ha'ol kosho havishir, that if the ol can't pass over the tree like that, then it will be a shiur, and then meaning it will remain with the hands of the seller. Velo pligi. Now we have these two opinions, and now they say velo pligi. Ha bedikle, ha beilane. Now this would go with what you were saying, Naomi, because if you say that Rav is bringing the Torah from Eretz Yisrael, because remember he grew up there before he moved to Bavel. So it's very interesting saying what he was talking about the Hevel, was the Dekel tree. And what they're talking about in Bavel was regular trees, not Dekel trees, and the other kinds that aren't included, the Kfanim and the other ones from yesterday that weren't included in the term Ilane, and therefore it makes sense that each one's talking about what's relevant to their setting. So that would be a very good interpretation. Okay. Ba'i mine Rav Acha Barhuna mi Rav Sheshet. Chutz mi charuv ploni. Chutz mi sadam ploni mahu. If I sell my field, we're assuming it doesn't include those trees that we were talking about, right? So the charuv and the, we said already in the Mishnah, it doesn't include the charuv, it doesn't include the sycamore. Let's say I have a field with all sorts of things in it, including a bunch of carob trees. And then I say, I'm selling you my field except for one carob tree. Now what happens? If I didn't say anything, so obviously the carob trees wouldn't be included in the sale. That's what the Mishnah said. But if I say, except for this one carob tree, so by my adding, am I actually causing myself to lose a lot more? Okay? So, that's the question. If he says, chutz mi charuv ploni, or chutz mi sadam ploni mahu, do we say, oto charuv hu delo kane, because he said, just not this one, does it mean specifically that one he doesn't acquire, but har shar charuvim kane, but all the rest of the trees he would acquire, because it seems to be implying that I'm only not selling you this one. O Dilma, or do we say, Shar Haruvim Navi Lo Kane, just because he added, right, this is what we call Yitor Lashon, he added a little extra words, now it's going to be worse for him, right? So if I'm selling you my field, and I decided to say, oh, except I really want this one tree, but really, if I just said nothing, none of the trees would have been included. So by my adding, I'm going to detract, basically, it doesn't make any sense. So what's going to be the halacha? Amarle Lo Kana. In fact, he says to him, his answer is, okay, Rav Sheshet answers, he doesn't get any of the trees, meaning the seller gets to keep all the trees. The fact that he said, chutz mi charuv ploni, just meant, yeah, I also don't want that tree, but obviously not all the other charuv trees. And again, it almost doesn't matter what he meant. It's that he certainly, right, we don't, it's actually interesting because it sounds like the whole thing we've been concerned with is what is really the mocher's intention. And here, it sounds like the mocher's intention really was to sell him the trees, but since halachically they've already determined that generally the trees aren't sold, so because this person specified, we're not going to make it worse for him than it would have been otherwise. Now we're going to have a question on this. Etive. We have a braita that says, chutz mecharov ploni, chutz misadam ploni, lo kana. Okay, it says, if you say the words, except for this charuv, or except for this sycamore, he's not kone. So now what's the assumption that he's not kone? What's the assumption of their first reading of this source? My lab oto charuv hu delo kane, right? What's the subject of this? The specific charuv, it sounds like specifically that charuv is not kone, but harshar charuvim kana. But the buyer would actually acquire all the other ones. And that would contradict the halacha that Rav Sheshet said. So Amar le, Sheshet answers lo. Afilu shar charuvim nami lo kana. No, because for sure, right, he says, when it says lo kana, the braita means, even all the other trees he's not kone. And how can I prove this? Teda, de'ilu, teda always means, and know this is the fact, because, de'ilu amarli, okay, now he's going to give another example. He's going to make an analogy to this other case. Let's say I say to you, sadi mechura lecha, this plot of land is sold to you, chutz mi sade plonit, except for, what I'm not including is the next door house. So that's right. What did I mean by that? Hahihu to lo kane, ha chwinatia kane. So what? Do you think if I say my field is sold to you, but not the adjacent field, does that mean I'm including the other adjacent field on the other side? Obviously not, because I said sadi mechura lecha. Sadi means this field, right? So if I said chutz mi, the adjacent field, which certainly wasn't going to be included in the sale in the first place, it certainly doesn't mean, well, I'm including something else, because I'm excluding
the trees are in that field.
Right. It's true. So it's a weird example because the trees are in the field, but what the assumption is like this. If I say I'm selling you my field, I'm clearly not selling you my adjacent field, right? I'm selling you this field. So it's the same thing. If I'm selling you my field, I'm clearly not including the trees. So even if I said, except for this one tree, it doesn't mean I'm including it because the basic was that if you sold a field, it doesn't include the trees.
Except it's a little less clear.
Right. It is a little less clear. I have to agree with you. But look, it's clear because the Mishnah says it. Right? The Mishnah says, Hamocher tasadeh. It's hard for us to understand because we think field includes everything in the field. But the assumption is they were selling the field, I guess, for the
karka.
Right, for the karka of it and not the stuff that was in it. We saw cases where somebody would sell the field and, you know, sell the tree to somebody else. And the trees, we view it all as one. First of all, we're not Haklaim, so we don't really understand what's going on here. And we're not Haklaim from those times, so all the more so. So he clearly thinks that this is the same thing. It's basically like saying, I'm selling you this and not something else that clearly wasn't included in the sale. It doesn't mean that I'm including something else that also was clearly not included in the sale. So that's what he's basically saying. Now, though, they're going to bring another case that maybe is a little less obviously clear. Okay, let's just see. Do we finish reading the whole thing? I know, Takani. Ela lokana. Ah, so ela lokana, right? Obviously, you're not going to acquire the next adjacent field. So hachanami lokana, also here. V'ika da'amri. Now, this different version of what this whole question was. But that really wasn't the question, because that's maybe this version thinks that was obviously you're not going to be koneh. But what about this one? So some people say that we're really the question was like this. Okay, the question he asked Rav Sheshet was like this. Chutz mi chasi charuv ploni. Chutz mi chasi sadam ploni. I don't know what it means exactly to sell someone half a tree, but
this is a Rav Yirmiya question.
Right, this is a Rav Yirmiya question. I think Rav Yirmiya, Rav Yirmiya was yesterday, right? So I knew he came up recently. So now he says, what if he sold him my whole field except for half of this carob tree, half of this sycamore tree? So then, mahu, do we say, right, shar charavim vadai lo kane? Obviously, he's not including, right, we already said that from the last case, it doesn't include all the other charavim, but ha masha shierbo to charuv kane. But maybe what he left on that other half tree that he didn't, right, that he said, I'm not selling you this half, it sounds like I am selling you the other half. Odilma afilu masha shierbo to charuv nami lo kane. Where do we say still? Since the other half wasn't meant to be in the sale in the first place, therefore it's not included in the sale, even though he, right, despite the fact that he seemed to imply that, his added word shouldn't detract from what he is owed. Or what belongs to him. Amarle lo kani. Interestingly enough, the answer is, right, because again, this is another version of the discussion. So the discussion is going to go the same way, where he says it's not kone. And then he brings him a kosher from a braita, etive, and here's the braita. Now, instead of the braita saying chutz mi charuv ploni, this braita says chutz mi chatzi charuv ploni, chutz mi chatzi sadam ploni. So shar charuvin lo kana. Right? It says, the shar charuvin lo kana. So what's the assumption here? Since it says in that braita now, he doesn't acquire the rest of the charuvim. Right here, the nusach is totally different from the last one. My lav shar charuvim hu de lo kana, but ha mashashir bo to charuv kana. Sounds like the assumption is he doesn't acquire the rest of the charuvim, but he does acquire that one half. So Amarle, Rav Sheshet says, lo, afilo mashashir bo to charuv nami lo kana. Okay, he says, even though it doesn't say so in the braita, it means he doesn't get all the charuvim, and even that half of a charuv tree he doesn't get. Teda, how does he prove this? Di ilu amarle, sadi mechura lecha, chutz michasi sade ploni, hahu hu delo kana, ha'idach kana. Ha'idach kana. So now, what does he say? If I say, sadi mechura lecha, except I'm not selling you half of the adjacent field, okay, so we're going to say what? That half, right? I'm selling you my field, and not half of the next door field. So it means the other half I'm selling you? Of course that. Of course not, right? So, ha'idach kana, what, but the other half you think it gets acquired? Ela lo kane, and therefore ha'chanami lo kane. So he makes the same type of comparison. He says, obviously there you wouldn't be acquiring the other half of the field. Again, you have to wonder what exactly the mocher's intention was, right? It seems strange to be saying such a thing. But in any case, he doesn't get to acquire it. Ba'amine Rav Amar me'Rav Chisda. Now we're moving to a totally different thing. We're back in Baba Metzia. Okay, if you remember the Iska, okay, we have to do some reminding. What is a heter iska, or the way we do a, if somebody wants to invest money, a business, what? It's, right, so it's a business deal. Somebody gives money, he invests money with someone, and he wants to get back the profits. Now, what's the problem? The problem is, if the person you give the money to assumes all the losses and all the gains, then he's never going to take your money because he doesn't want to assume all the losses and all the gains. If the other person assumes all the losses and all the gains, he'll never give you his money. So therefore, and also there's going to be a problem. If he gives you the money as a halva'ah and you give it back to him with profits, then it looks like we beat. So what do? We do what's called, it's going to be palga milvet and palva pikadon. You have to remember. In pikadon, who takes responsibility? The mafki, the person who gave him the money. Because if you give me your item to watch and the item goes down in value, you get your item back exactly as it is with it, either with the loss or with the gain. And the milveh, I assume responsibility. You give me money, you lend me money, and then let's say the money, the value of money goes down or up, you know, I still have to give you back exactly the amount of money that you gave me, so I'm assuming the loss and the gain. Let's say the money gets stolen, right? I still have to pay you back the money. You loan me money. It's not, we call it milveh lehotzah anitna. The money you gave me, I'm not intending to give you exactly that money back. So if the money gets stolen from me, I still owe you the same money I borrowed. The shomer is responsible, or the malveh is responsible for a milveh. Okay? Now, what's the importance here? So if we view it as half-half, that way, first of all, it resolves the issue that everyone assumes half the responsibilities, and therefore half the gains or half the losses will go back to the original guy who invested the money. And how do we view it? The half of the milveh, he gets back exactly the money he gave, and he doesn't get any gain or loss on that, and that's because of the rebate problem. If he gets the gains, it'll look like rebate. So on that half, he doesn't get, right? The half of that goes, half of the profits on that half goes to the malveh, and the pikadon part, he gets the gains on the pikadon part. And that's how we resolve it. That's called a heter iska. So now, let's see. Ba'amine Rav Amar me'Rav Chisda. Ha'mafkir etzal chavero b'shtar. If you give somebody money to invest, and you have a shtar, okay, so that means you, let's say, give me money, you invest with me, and you keep a document that says that I took your money and you're expecting to get it back. Right? Just like the malveh generally keeps the shtar, so in this case the mafki keeps the shtar. Va'amar lo, and then you come back to me and you say, hey look, here's my shtar, give me my money back. Va'amar lo, hichzartim lecha. And I said, what are you talking about? I already returned the money. Now what's the problem? If I return the money, then I should have gotten the shtar back. The fact that you have the shtar looks like I didn't return the money. But mahu, the question is, still it's going to be a question, why? Here's the question. Mi amrinan, migo, what's a migo, right? I'm believed, why? Because di'ibai amar ne'ensu meheman. Therefore, hashtanami meheman. Well, it's true you have a shtar. Let's say, okay, it's like, basically, if I'm a shomer, so if I'm, let's say, a shomer sechar, I'm getting paid. Okay, you're investing money with me. If I'm a shomer sechar, what happens? I'm responsible for anything that happens unless it's ones. Now, if it's ones, let's say you have a shtar that says you gave me the money. But I could say, it's nice you have a shtar. I didn't return the money to you. But what did happen? Ones happened, right? Some fire came and burned my house down and all your stuff, all your money was gone. So now I can be believed if I say ones. So now the question is, since I could have said ones and I didn't, now that I said chzartiv lecha, am I believed? Because I could have made a better claim of ones that would have been easy for me to get out of, and instead I said chzartiv lecha, so maybe even though you have a shtar, I'm believed because of amigo. So therefore, should we say here, right? Dibayim Amrina and Su Meheman. Therefore, Hashtanami, here also I should be Meheman because I could have said Nensu. O Dilma, or should we say like this? Amarle, what's the Matze Amarle, he could say to him, Shtarchabi Adim Mai Bai. Right? In other words, does amigo outweigh the fact that you have a star? Or do we say that you can say to me, hey, but I have a star? So your Tana doesn't hold. So Amarle, interestingly enough, he says Meheman. He's really believed because of this amigo. Okay? But now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Vilemale, still, you can say to me, Shtar Chaviyadi Mai Bai. What's my star doing in your hands? Now, what's my star doing in my hands if you really returned it? You should have taken back the star. So even though we have amigo, they're complaining, they're saying, but wait a minute, something still doesn't work. Amarle, Vilitamech. Ki amarle nensu mi matze amarle shtar chaviyadi mai have mai bai. But according to what you're saying, since the whole thing is built on amigo, if you say nensu, your star is useless. So therefore, in this case also, the star shouldn't make a difference. Amarle, but he says to him back, wait a minute. But sof ki amarle nensu lav shvua bai. But wait a minute. If you claim nensu, okay, some fire came. Don't you have to swear? Remember that important part, right? It's not enough to just claim whatever you want, but you have to take an oath. You have to swear and say, it was stolen. It was Nensu, a fire happened. By the way, the same thing by Shomer Chinam, if he says Geneva Vaveda, right? And okay. So Hachanami, my Neman, Nemba Meshvua. So his answer is that if you want to say Chzartiv Licha, it's just like Nensu, meaning you'd have to take a shvu also. Okay? So in the end, he concludes that yes, you're believed because of this amigo, but you have to take a shvu with it. Okay? So now they say, Lema bepluta dahane tanai. Maybe this whole thing is actually a machloka tanaim, and he's siding with one side on this machloka tanaim. By the way, this whole thing about a shvu, there's two ways to look at this shvu. Either you look at the shvua that we really don't believe the guy when he's claiming Nensu, or in our case, Hichzartiv Lecha, and therefore we're b'chayvim a shvua to basically say, hey, you can't just stop make a claim. If you're willing to swear, then we'll believe you, but otherwise we don't really believe you. Or is it the opposite? It's that we really do believe him, but to appease the other side, who's worried that someone might take advantage of him, we're going to make the guy take a shvua to kind of make the other side feel better about it, so it sits better with him. But and there's two different ways of viewing the shvua. Is the shvua because we really don't trust the guy at all, or is the shvua just to kind of appease the other side that we're making the guy take a shvua? Okay, lema b'plugtei tahani tanai. So let's suggest that this is based on this machloket tanaim. Again, lema always is going to end with, no, it's not the case. Ditanya. Sharkis hayotze ala yitomim. Now, by the way, we're going to see in a second why this sug is mentioned here. Okay, and it's going to be very simple, which is Dayane Hagola Amre, blah, 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 blah. Dayane Eretzrael Amre. So we're going to have another case where the Dayane Eretzrael differ with Dayane Hagola. By the way, there's this book called the Chilu, I have to remember exactly what it's called, the Chilukim Ben Babel Eretzrael, something like that. Sefer Chilukim Ben Eretzrael. And it's all different, it's a list of basic machlokot that existed between Babel and Eretz Yisrael. Okay? I wonder if these things are mentioned in there. But I think it's actually from the Gaonic time period. And it's all a list of like the difference of approaches between the Gishot.
It's still published, no?
I don't think you can buy it like that, but it's quoted a lot. I wonder, I can't remember now. I've used it before for sure, but I can't remember if I used it in the form of the book itself, whether the book exists, or maybe it was also, like the Otzar Gaonim is, this guy Binyamin Levin, he took all the quotes that he found from the Gaonim and compiled a book based on that. It could be that this book is similar. I don't remember. I have to look it up, but it's a useful book. So anyway, I thought of it in this context. It'd be interesting to see if these things are mentioned. Tov. So here's the machloket. A shtar kis hayotze al yitomim. Somebody clump. Oh, you know what? I got confused. The case we were talking about last time wasn't an investment. The investment comes in now. The case we were talking about was just a regular pikadon. Okay, sorry, I got confused because I was thinking mafkin, and it was that. The next case is the esek. Here, what we were talking about until now was just a regular pikadon. He gave him an item, and the guy said, I returned it to you or I didn't return it to you. Okay, sorry for my confusion. It doesn't really have any relevance because we didn't really talk about the milva within the context of this. That was just the pikadon, the classic pikadon case. Now we're going to talk about a shtar kisa yotzei al yatomim, which is a case where someone gave the father money to invest, and he has a shtar showing that he invested money with a guy, and the guy dies, and now he goes to the yatomim to get his money back. Okay, so now what always happens in this case with the yatomim? There's something called ta'anina, which means that the beit din makes a claim for the kids that the father could have made himself, okay? But now that the father's not there to make a claim, the beit din's going to say, well, maybe the father already paid the money back, right? A claim that the father could have made himself, the beit din is going to claim for the on behalf of the yatom. So if we have a shtar kisa yotzei al yatomim, dayanei gola amre nishba v'goveh kulo. The dayanei gola say, there's no claim we can make for the yatomim, and therefore, what does the guy do? He swears that he never got the money back from the father, and he gets all his money back. Dayanei Eretz Yisrael Amre Nishba V'Goveh Mechze. He swears and gets back half of his investment, but not the whole thing. So why would this be? So Dekule Alma Ilu D'Nehardeh. Everyone agrees with what Nehardeh is, which is D'Amre Nehardeh, and this is what I put on the board. Hai Iska Palga Milveh V'Palga Pikadon. Everyone agrees that an investment is viewed as half milveh, half pikadon. And therefore, my la bahakamiflage, now we're getting to our thing. Maybe this is exactly what their machloket is. Demar saver matze amrele shtarchavi adim my bai. That the first opinion who says your gove kulo holds that the guy can say, if your father had given me back my money, he would have taken the shtar. So what's the shtar doing in my hands? It must be the father never paid me back the money. And therefore, I get all my money back. Umar saver. Lo, okay, now it's a whole different nusach. You have to look in the Bach. Lo matze amrele shtar chav yadi mai hafe. Okay, and the other guy says, you can't say that. Meaning, what do you say? That the yatomim can make a claim that they returned, which part though? Only the pikadon part, right? And that's the half that the yatomim don't have to pay him. Because just like this case, ha-mafkid etzel chavero b'shtar, which was a regular pikadon case, he can say, yechzer tiv lecha, migo tibayam ar ne'en su. Likewise, the court can claim on the behalf of the yatomim that since the father could have claimed it was ne'enas, and I don't have your pikadon, therefore, right, remember, if he says ne'enas and I don't have your milveh, he still has to pay it, because remember what we said. The milveh is fully responsible for this, whether it gets stolen, burned, anything happens to it, no matter what, he's responsible. Whereas the pikadon part, though, he wouldn't have to pay back, because he can say, since he could say ne'ensu, and he, in this case, he said, he's believed by amigo, even though the other person has the shtar. So therefore, why don't we assume that that's the machloket, whether you're believed by amigo in that case, in a pikadon case, or, right, you just have to basically erase the milveh, right? We're only dealing with half. Half, for sure, he has to return. Yes, and then he'd have to take a shvuah. It says, nishba v'notel mechze. Right, that was the other opinion. One says nishba v'notel kulo, he gets to take everything as long as he swears. And the other opinion says no, nishba v'gove mechze, because he only gets the milva part back. He doesn't get the pikadon because migo de amar nensu. Therefore, when he says hichzar tiv lecha, remember, in this case, the kid didn't say hichzar tiv lecha, but since the father could have said hichzar tiv lecha, the court comes in and claims for them. It's what we call ta'anina. They make a claim for the yatomim. They say, since your father could have made a claim here, what could he have said? I already returned it to you, or he could have even said net and sue, right? Therefore, you don't have to return it. What?
But only if it's true that no. He returned it.
No, we don't know. We don't know if it's true because the father's dead. We have no idea what the father did. So therefore, but that's the whole thing of ta'anina. We come up with a claim that potentially the father could have made in court. This is one of these attempts they had to protect the yatomim. They're always concerned with the yatomim getting taken advantage of. So even though this person has a shtar, we don't know what happened to the money he gave him. Maybe really there was a fire. Who knows? Right?
And then who takes the shua?
Wouldn't the atonement? No. The person who's trying to get the money from the atonement says, I swear I never got my money back.
In which case, after he swears, he still only gets half of it.
He only gets half because the half that was the milveh, for sure they have to return. But since they could have said nensu, right? So...
Because usually the person who says nensu has to take the shvuah, no?
No. No. Oh, yeah, you're right. In that case, nensu, they would have to take the shvuah. Yeah, that's true. But in this case, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. So maybe you're right. Maybe I'm confused. Nishba, so wait a minute. You're right. Hi, is the problem? 1 second. You're right. Marsha, Nishba begove mechze. Yeah, but that's because anyone, because it's yatomim, anyone who wants to... Here it's nishba v'gove mechze. They can be. It's the person who gave the money.
Even so, when he swears that he was not repaid any of it,
right,
because of the oath,
right,
he only,
I think it's
back,
because they're yatomim. You're right. It flipped who swears in this case. It's because he has to swear that he never got his money back, and then he gets his chetzi milveh. The pikadon part, generally, this is the thing. When it comes to the pikadon, generally, the person who says nensu has to swear. But in this case, the court is making the claim for them, and we don't even know if it's true. So certainly they can't swear about it.
Right.
But it's the other person has to swear, because in order to take money out of the atonement, you can't enter in the atonement ella
b'shvua. He has a shtar. Why does he need,
well,
to,
that's exactly the point. So, right.
Right.
But in order to get it, because they could claim that maybe, you know, and it could have been returned, it could have been this. We're going to see in a minute that it's really not based on this machloka. Maybe this will help you a little bit. So what does it say here? Look, that's not true. That's not what the machloka is. De kule alma iluhu de Rav Chista. Everybody agrees with Rav Chista. Okay, who's Rav Chista? Rav Chista is the one who bai mine Rav Amram Rav Chista hamavkede etz chavero. Everyone agrees that you can make this migo, even though the other person's got the shtar. You could still make the migo, maybe it was nansu. But what's the issue here? Hacha b'hakam miflege. Demar savarim ita de pare. If the father had really paid back the investment and the person still had the shtar for whatever reason, meimar hava amar. He would have told his kids on his deathbed that... So wait a minute. Hold off. That's what the Gemara is going to say. But anyway, meimar hava amar, he would have told his kids... People know before they die, they make sure to tell their kids important things. Okay, when they're on their deathbed. So the assumption is, if he knew that for whatever reason he had paid back this loan, this investment, and yet the guy still had the shtar, maybe the guy forgot to bring the shtar that day when he came to get his money back, and they gave it anyway, be'imun, right, I trust you, and he knew the shtar was out there. Those aren't things you forget, okay? So you would have told your kids before you died, and therefore, if the kids don't know anything from this, the assumption is that the father never returned the investment, and therefore... the guy can get all of his money back, as long as he swears. But Mar Savar, Imor Malach HaMavet Hu Da'anseh, right? Who's to say the guy had a deathbed? Maybe he got killed, right, in a car accident, or, right? So, obviously not in those days, but, okay, now, I forget who writes this, the Tosfot of the Rashbam said that, that even if he had a deathbed, okay, even if the guy was on his deathbed and he was about to die, you could just say that Malach HaMavet Hu Da'anseh, right, this is a great line, no one ever really thinks that death is going to come to them. And therefore, even on their deathbed, they might not have thought that they were going to die right then. And therefore, right, this is what people always say, even if you're expecting it, you're never really expecting it, you're never really prepared. And that really that's what they're saying here, that he's never fully prepared. And because of that, he might not have told his kids what he should have. Okay. Shalach Rapuna Bar Avin, Hamavkid Etzel Chavero Bishtar, Vamar Lo Hichzer Tivlecha. Somebody's Mavkid Etzel Chavero with a shtar, and he says, Hichzer Tivlecha. Okay, and then the guy says, I return the pikadon to you, Ne'eman. Okay, this is what we just said, right? He'll be Ne'eman because of Amiga. Ushtar Kis Hayotzel Ayatomim Nishba Vigove Kulo. When it comes to this investment made with the Yatomim, he can swear and get all of it. Now that seems to be, you can't say the Migo, right? Because it should be Nishba Vigova Mechte. So how did, right? So now there are questions. Tarte, how did he say two things that seem to contradict each other? So what do we say here? Shanehatam dim ita depare me mahava amar. So now we say, the reason why the Yatomim is different than the other cases, because we don't assume that we can be ta'anin on anything for the Yatomim, because again, we assume that the father on his deathbed would have told the children that he had this investment out. And therefore, if the person brings a shtar, then he can actually get all the money back, as long as he swears. Because again, the swearing has to do with ein ifrim nichsei yatomim ela b'shvua. We've learned that before, right? That the only way to get money from yatomim is to swear. Amar Rava, now we're going to have halacha. Hilchata nishba v'gove mechze. Okay, Rava says the halacha actually is not like that, okay? But the halacha is, okay, so this Rav Huna bar Avin had sent this halacha, but Rava says, no, I disagree with you, it's nishba v'gove mechze in the yatomim case. Amar Marzutra hilchata k'dayanei hagola. Marzutra says the halacha is like Dayanei Agola, who say Nishba Vegove Kulo. So it seems like we have a machloket here. How we paskin? Is it Nishba Vegove Mechze or Nishba Vegove Kulo? So Amar Le Ravina Le Marzutra, how could you go against Rava? Ha Amar Rava Nishba Vegove Mechze. Right? You said the halacha is like Dayanei Agola, who say Nishba Vegove Kulo. So how could you say against Rava? So now we're going to have an easy answer. Amar Le Anan Dayanei Gola Ipcha Matninan La. When I said Dayanei Agola, right, what did we do? When we said Dayanei Agola, what did we do? We look back, and what did Dayanei Agola say? Dayanei Agola said, Nishba Vegove Kulo. So what does he say? Oh, I didn't disagree with Rava. It was that my version of the Dayanei Agola was flipped. I had it that Dayanei Yisrael said Nishba Vegove Kulo. And Dayanei Agola said Nishba Vegove Mechze. Okay, I don't know if he was trying to be mitchamek, you know, and sort of, oh no, well, you caught me here, that I was going against Rava, and sorry, I wasn't really going against it. Or really, he really had the opposite, which often happens, right? We know this is even like, in vocabulary words, sometimes you actually know the word, but sometimes you think it's the opposite of that. Like, there's often times where you connect two things and then you flip them. So that's why we commonly see this, where somebody had the shito flip. You knew they had a machloket about this, you just didn't remember who said what. Maybe that's why that book, Sefer Achilukim Ben Bavel, is always important for people to keep track of who actually says what. Okay, we got some of this.